Congregation, in anticipation of the installation of office bearers, we will consider this morning chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verses 2, 3, and 4. Verses 2, 3, and 4 of 1 Peter 5, where we read God's word and our text. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So in this passage we have an exhortation to feed or to shepherd. That's actually what the Greek word means, to shepherd the flock of God. First of all, by exercising oversight over God's flock. And so, boys and girls, if you have your Bibles open, again, follow me in the text and you will see where my points come from. So, feed the flock of God. That's my theme. That means shepherd the flock of God. And so you are to do that, first of all, by taking oversight thereof. Oversight over God's flock. Secondly, by being examples to God's flock. You see that in verse 3. Not as lords over God's heritage, but as examples to the flock, God's flock. And then finally, by honoring the shepherd of God's flock. And when the chief shepherd, so this is a reminder that ultimately Christ, as we will see, is the real shepherd of the flock. He is the real shepherd of his church. So three things that belong to this feeding of the flock, this shepherding of the flock. Oversight, being an example, and honoring the shepherd, the chief shepherd of God's flock. What a remarkable description, congregation, of the church is that it is called here the flock of God. First of all, it immediately reminds us that in that culture, this was immediately, would have been a very effective analogy. People would immediately think of a flock. They would think of a flock of sheep being guided and directed by a shepherd. In that culture, people would have understood that in a very real way, that flock belonged to the shepherd. They were his sheep. And that was not just a five-day-a-week job. When you were a shepherd in those days, you were committed to those sheep 24/7, 7 days a week. That shepherd lived with his sheep. He slept with his sheep. His whole life revolved around those sheep. They were his sheep. That was his flock. And the sheep would know their shepherd. They would know the voice of their shepherd. I've been told that shepherds would all come to a common watering hole, and all of their flocks would mingle together. And you would think, how in the world will the shepherd ever be able to walk away and know that his sheep are following him? But the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd so well that as the shepherd would walk away from the watering hole, he would just start talking. And he would start calling out the names of his sheep. They all had a name. And they all recognized the voice of their own shepherd. And they would follow their shepherd. And I'm simply telling you that to emphasize what a very intimate relationship there was between the shepherd and his sheep. And now Peter says here, we must think of the church of Christ as the flock of God, as the flock of Christ. And so what this immediately tells us, that the church belongs to him. It is his church. And that's very important also this morning as we install office bearers. That's important for them. It's important for us as a congregation. And even though the focus of this message will be on office bearing, I do want to emphasize immediately that whatever I will be saying about office bearing by way of this text ultimately applies to us as parents as well. Because as parents, we are called to shepherd our little flock. The Puritans were fond of calling the family a little church. That means as parents, we are God's office bearers. God has raised us up to raise those children, to raise them for Him. Because Psalm 127 makes it crystal clear that ultimately our children are not our own. Our children belong to God. And we as parents are merely God's stewards. We have been entrusted with the task of raising them in the fear of His name. And so we as parents, we are also office bearers. And especially fathers. We really need to listen. Fathers, we are the office bearer of our family. Your calling as a father is to be a prophet, to teach your family the Word of God. Your calling as a father is to be a priest, and that is to intercede with God on behalf of your family, to be a praying father, a teaching father, a praying father, but also to serve as king, a ruling father, a father who governs his family according to the revealed will of God. And so when it says here, feed the flock of God, yes, that pertains to us as office bearers. But as I preach, as I briefly unfold this text, make the connection to your family as well. Because that commitment that this passage calls for is a commitment that we need to make in the raising of our children as well. And so the church belongs to God. That church has been chosen in Christ from all eternity. That church has been purchased by Christ by His precious blood. That church is the work of the Holy Spirit. The church exists as a result of the work of a triune God. That's what makes the church so very special. The church is unlike any other community of human beings. The existence of the church, as you know, is a miracle, an ongoing miracle. An ongoing miracle that Satan, with all of his evil forces, has not succeeded in eliminating the church of God, the flock of God, from the face of the earth. Now, Peter, as he writes here to the believers who are scattered abroad, is exhorting. He says, I exhort you. And that word in Greek means also, I encourage you. I want to stir you up. I exhort you to take your task very seriously. I want to exhort you to feed the flock of God which is among you. I want to exhort you to tend God's flock. Remember, it is not your flock, and brothers, it is not our flock. But we are called to serve God's flock. It belongs to Him. So first of all, we're told to oversee the flock of God. Feeding the flock, shepherding the flock. And what does that mean? Let me put it very, very simply. Keep an eye on the flock. That's our task as office bearers. Your task of the elders, the task of the deacons, the task of me. Together, the three offices together, we are called by God to keep an eye on the flock that is entrusted to our care. Because what did shepherding involve? What does shepherding the flock involve? And that again applies to our families as well. There are three things that a shepherd was responsible for. He was responsible to make sure that his flock was fed, that his flock was guided and directed, because you know, if you would let a flock of sheep on their own without a shepherd, you know what a disaster that would be. They would go astray and they would all perish. So sheep are animals who need to be guided, who need to be directed. So they have to be fed, they have to be guided, and of course they have to be protected. That's exactly what a shepherd would do every single day. He would make sure that he would lead his sheep to those pastures where they could graze. And he would have an incredible knowledge of the area. He'd know where the pastures would be. And he would lead them from pasture to pasture to make sure that they were fed. But he would also guide them. That's what he would do with his staff. He would direct them. He would keep an eye on them. He would use his shepherd dogs to make sure that the flock stayed together. And he would protect his sheep. A shepherd in Israel was so committed to his sheep that he was willing to die for his sheep. And so when at night he would gather them in a corral, he himself would lay in the entrance, as if to say to all the animals of prey who would be looking from the outside in order to get to my sheep, you first have to get to me. A congregation, that's what we as office bearers are called to do by Christ. We are to shepherd the flock. We are responsible for making sure that you get fed. That you get fed through the ministry of the word. That's our sacred responsibility. Especially the elders have that responsibility to oversee the ministry of the word, to make sure that I, as a minister of the gospel, and whoever stands in this pulpit, that we provide you with biblical nourishment so that you, as the sheep, are fed and instructed through the word of God. No doubt, when Peter wrote this, he remembered that unforgettable moment recorded for us in John 21. When Christ restored him to his office. And what does Jesus say to him in John 21? He says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and again, feed my sheep. That's how Christ summarized the task to which he called us. And that's our task. And we have to make sure we have to direct our flock. We have to make sure as elders, especially as elders, but are as a consistory, as a body together representing Christ. We have to provide direction for our flock. We have to make sure that we guide our flock. We guide them in the pathway of God's word. That means that sometimes the rod has to be used. Not only the staff, but the rod. And so the shepherd at times would have to discipline the sheep that did not listen very well. He would use, of course, his sling, and he was incredibly skilled at flinging a stone, and he would hit that sheep, and the sheep would quickly come back to the flock. Or he would use the shepherd dogs. And in some cases, when a sheep would stubbornly refuse to listen and would time and again go astray, shepherds have been known to actually take that sheep and break its legs and then set those legs. And then he would carry that sheep on his shoulder for 2 weeks until the legs were healed. And why did he do that? Well, by the time those 2 weeks were over, that straying sheep, that disobedient sheep, that foolish sheep would have become so accustomed to the intimate presence of the shepherd, would be so familiar with the voice of the shepherd, that for the rest of its life it would never wander away from the shepherd again. So that's what we are called to. That's our task, is to feed our sheep, to direct the sheep, and to protect the sheep. And parents, that's your task. Your task. It's not only to make sure that your children are physically fed. Your task is to make sure that your children are spiritually fed. Your task is to feed your family with the Word of God, to teach them the Word of God, to pray and to provide biblical direction for your children, to lovingly discipline your children when they go astray, and of course to protect your children, to protect the congregation. Because congregation, sheep were very vulnerable animals. Sheep, without a shepherd, sheep would perish. I've been told that when a sheep would fall on its back, it cannot get back on its legs. It needs the help of a shepherd. And in Israel, when a shepherd would go through the wilderness, The animals of prey were never far away. They were always looking for a straying sheep, always looking for a moment in which they could take advantage of either the shepherd not paying attention or a sheep foolishly wandering away from the shepherd. And so a good shepherd knew that. He knew he could never, ever take his eye off the sheep. And brothers, we also need to protect our congregation, because the church of God exists in an exceedingly hostile environment. There are so many forces at work within and without to destroy the flock of God. And our special task as office bearers is to be aware of that. To be aware of what are the dangers. What are the dangers to which the congregation is subjected. To make sure that we protect the flock. Of course, as parents too, especially today. That's why, especially when we raise our kids and our teenagers, we have to do something about protecting them from the very dangerous media environment that can potentially be so harmful to them and ultimately destroy them. But also, how are we to do that? How are we to be overseers? How are we to keep an eye on the flock? How are we as office bearers, how are we to engage ourselves? Well, Peter is very clear. He says, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And the reason Peter emphasizes that, he is saying, when God calls us to this shepherding work, which he does as office bearers, we need to realize what an extraordinary thing it is when God calls us to that task. What an extraordinary privilege it is. And what an extraordinary responsibility it is. That's why Peter is saying, when God calls you to feed his flock, when God calls you to shepherd his sheep, you should do so willingly and without any ulterior motives. And see, he's simply saying, you must serve that flock wholeheartedly. You must serve that flock joyfully and willfully and cheerfully with a ready mind. In other words, you must do so with a positive attitude. And I realize that office bearing can be difficult. Office bearing can be very challenging. But that's why Peter gives us this focus. He is saying to the elders there, he's saying to us, but remember who you are serving. Remember what he is calling you to do. Remember that he is calling you, of all people, he is calling you to tend to his flock and to shepherd his flock. That should overwhelm us. What an honor to be called by Christ to feed his flock, to tend his flock, to shepherd his flock. And of course, the people then needed that exhortation in an extra way, because when Peter wrote this epistle, persecution was breaking out everywhere. It was dangerous to be a Christian. It was dangerous to belong to the flock of God. Peter realized that men would almost shrink back from serving that flock. And so Peter is saying, forget about yourself. Forget about your own safety. Forget about everything. Focus on who is calling you. Focus on the extraordinary privilege that Christ wants to use you to feed his flock. Do it willingly and do it cheerfully. Do it with a ready mind. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being as samples to the flock. First of all, he describes being an example to the flock in a negative way. He says, do not be lords over God's heritage. So Peter simply realized that also in church life, there's always the danger that someone will abuse their position. That someone will abuse the authority with which God has invested in them. And so Peter wants to remind the office bearers, he wants to remind us, remember, you are not called to be the Lord of the church. That is Christ. But you are called to be the servants of the church. And so he's lovingly saying, do not ever abuse the authority with which you are vested. Do not engage in your shepherding task in such a way that you would be guilty of misrepresenting the character of Christ. See, that's it. Because we are to serve the church as Christ served the church. And he did it willingly. And he did it joyfully. And he did it cheerfully. He did it with a ready mind. And he did it as a servant. Which is remarkable. Christ himself said that he did not come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. And so the bottom line simply is this, that the shepherds of the flock, we are called to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the servants of Christ. We are to engage in our task, and it is true, congregation. When these men, again, when they make their vows, they are vested with authority to engage in their office by Christ. But we need to understand that our primary focus must be that we are called to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5, but we preach not ourselves, he says, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And he says, ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Your servants for Jesus' sake. And so then he says we are to be examples to the flock. Congregation, that is so important for us as office bearers and for you as parents. That means we are to exemplify to our congregation. We are to exemplify to our children what it means to fear God and to walk in his ways. And so specifically, as office bearers, that means we are to consider our private life. That is so important. We are to make sure that in our private life, we walk with Christ. That in our private life, we serve Christ. That we would never use our office as a substitute for our personal and private walk with God. And as you know, I've said this many times here, for a Christian, spending time with God every day, spending time with his word every day, is not a luxury and it's not an option. And it is especially true for office bearers. We must zealously maintain our private walk with God. Our office bearing, our ministry to the congregation should be fueled by our private walk with God. And so we need to be in the Word. That's why Paul said remarkably in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body, he says, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he took his spiritual discipline very, very seriously. Because the devil knows one of the best ways to harm the church is if he can take us down. And the best way to make us fail as office bearers is, first of all, to make us fail privately. So when we neglect our private walk with God, our private fellowship with God, our private feeding upon the Word of God, he knows when we neglect that, that that will manifest itself ultimately in how we bear our office. And of course we are to be examples also in our public walk. And so we need to realize, congregation, that we as office bearers, we are human beings. We are sinful human beings. We have to live normal lives. But nevertheless, when we bear office, We should never forget who we are. Because wherever we go, also as we move among the congregation knows who we are. They know what our position is. And our conduct should be such that we are examples to the flock. So let me just read a couple passages. Paul says in Titus 1 verse 7, for a bishop or an elder or a deacon must be blameless as the steward of God. Does that mean that we have to be sinless? Of course not. But what he's saying, there should be a consistency in our lives. There should be a consistency in our walk that is evident to those to whom we minister. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 9. To make ourselves, he says, an example unto you to follow us. Paul says that about himself. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. He says to Timothy, his young spiritual son, he says, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In Titus 2 verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Brothers, I've said this before, and I preach this sermon with my hand in my own bosom. Our congregation, they observe us. And our spirituality, our example, our walk sets the tone for the whole congregation. So a congregation will be as spiritual as her leaders are spiritual. That goes for our families too. Our families will be as spiritual as the parents are spiritual. What a calling that is, also for us as parents. Our children, they live with us. They know us. They're with us every day. They are very good at detecting the pattern of your life. Parents, is your life a pattern of good works? Is your life a pattern of consistent godliness? Can your children tell that you take God and His Word seriously? Because children know. And when I grew up, my parents were not perfect either. But I have to say, there was a pattern that made a deep impression on us as children. And so it must be with us as parents, so it must be as office bearers. And of course, it also means that we are to be examples in our commitment to God's flock. The congregation should be able to tell that we are committed to them. We are committed to serve them. That we are committed to the spiritual well-being of the congregation. And so when we come and visit with you, and when we engage in spiritual conversation, when we inquire about your spiritual well-being, it's because we love you. And we are responsible to minister to you, to be committed to your special needs when they arise, to be committed to serve this congregation sacrificially, as Christ did. Yes, sacrificially. To be an office bearer requires sacrifice. Sacrifice of our time. Sacrifice of our priorities. That's what Christ did. Christ served His church sacrificially. And so must we. And then finally, we need to conclude this. It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So as a final incentive, as a final argument, Peter reminds himself and us whom we are ultimately serving. He is saying, we are but under shepherds. We must remember that Christ is the chief shepherd of the church. Yet, what an encouragement that is. Because, dear brothers, it is Christ who's calling you. The congregation has called you, but Christ has called you through them. Christ is calling you to serve Him. And so, I want to encourage you, and myself too, That means in order to do this right, in order to do this faithfully, in order to tend to the flock of God, to shepherd this flock, we must look to Him. We must expect it from Him. And the wonderful thing is, congregation, that He has promised to abundantly bestow His grace and mercy on those whom He calls to serve Him. Oh, what an encouragement that is. It is that shepherd who said, "Lo, I am with you always and to the end of the earth." It is that chief shepherd who encouraged Paul in Corinth when he was so discouraged, when he felt so inadequate to serve the people in Corinth. And he said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And brothers, that's what we need. We need the grace of our chief shepherd. We need His strength to be able to do His work, because that's what we are called to do. Ultimately, Christ is the one who is shepherding His flock, but He does it through us. That's what makes our work so remarkable and so responsible. We are His chosen instruments to do His work as the chief shepherd of His flock. But the wonderful thing is, and those who have served before, you know what a faithful chief shepherd He is. You know that when we serve Him, He will never put us to shame. We often put Him to shame. We often are unfaithful. We often falter. But He is always faithful. He abides faithful. And when we stumble, He will pick us up again. And He will again give us the grace and energy and strength to serve Him faithfully. And so we serve a shepherd who will never abandon us. Never. A shepherd who said in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock." That's what we are. We are a little flock. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." A shepherd who intercedes for us. A shepherd who is now at the Father's right hand, our chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, and He is actively engaged to promote our well-being, to sustain His church, to equip His under-shepherds to feed His flock, the flock that He has purchased with His blood. Oh, how encouraging is that intercession. And of course, we as office bearers especially are called to be intercessors for our congregation. That's part of our task. We have to pray for our sheep. We have to pray to the chief shepherd that He will bless our little flock, that He will equip us as office bearers to do His work. But how encouraging. We're serving a Christ who will not abandon us, a Christ who intercedes for us, and who is ultimately the exalted King of Kings. A shepherd who is on the throne of the universe. A shepherd who rules and a shepherd who governs. And how encouraging that is. And then Peter promises a reward, he says, "And when He appears, when He comes in the fullness of time, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." You know, Paul was conscious of that. At the very end of his life, when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, he wrote that epistle shortly before he was beheaded by Nero. And he said this, "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day." In Revelation 2 verse 10, Christ says to His church, His people, "Be thou faithful unto death," He says. And then He says, "And I will give thee a crown of life." And so Christ will reward His servants. He will reward us for having served Him. He will reward us for having tended His flock. And will we get a crown as office bearers because we did such a good job? No, congregation. That crown will be a gift of grace. And that crown will be given to us. Because elsewhere in the New Testament, that word crown is used to describe the crown of thorns. He, the great shepherd, the great office bearer, he wore a crown of thorns in order that he could give to his servants a crown of glory, a crown of grace. And so Christ will reward his servants for having served him faithfully. And so Peter, of course, especially writing to Christians who were being persecuted, he was trying to stir them up to remain faithful. As if to say, remember what will be the ultimate outcome. Even if they persecute us as Christians, even if they are after us, even if they seek to destroy us, remember what the ultimate outcome is. Remember that our chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will appear and you will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And that is ultimately the blessed future of all of God's children. A future in which they will receive an inheritance. Peter writes about it in his opening chapter, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so, dear brothers, and I address myself. The chief shepherd is giving us our marching orders. The chief shepherd is saying, feed my flock, the flock that I have purchased with my blood. Feed my flock. Keep an eye on my flock. Oversee my flock. Do it willingly. Do it with a ready mind. Do it in the realization who it is that's calling you and who it is that you are serving. And do it with humble hearts, not as lords, but as examples to the flock. Was the ultimate realization that the history of the church will culminate in that glorious moment when he will come, when the chief shepherd will appear, and what a joyful day that will be for the flock of Christ. What a joyful day. What an unspeakable day when we will see him in his glory and in his beauty. Congregation, do you look forward to that day? Are you ready for that day? He will come. He will appear. And for the godly, it will be a day of unspeakable joy. But if we are not in Christ, if we have not believed in Christ, if we have resisted the ministry of his servants and continued in sin and unbelief, it'll be a dreadful day when he appears in glory and in majesty. And our task is, I heard a minister once say, he says, my job as a minister is to prepare my people to die. It's true. That's why we preach the gospel to you. That's why we urge you to repent and believe in Christ. My job, our job as office bearers, is to prepare you to die. So you can die in peace. And you can only die in peace if that chief shepherd is your Savior, your Lord, and your King. So I ask you, my dear congregation, is that chief shepherd your shepherd? Have you come to him? Have you sought him? That shepherd still welcomes sheep into his flock. So pray for us as office bearers, that we will be faithful in doing his work among you, faithful in feeding the flock of God, which is also among us.